Welcome to the Spawn of Me podcast. This is your host, Khalif Adams. This is episode 256 of our show. Shout out to everybody in Twitch land. Shout out to everybody in podcast land. Thank you so much for coming and hanging out with us this evening, coming and chilling with us on this lovely, lovely evening in both Burcago West, Burcago South, Burcago Central, and Burcago, Venezuela. We want to say what's up to everybody who's out there in the world with their biscuits afire, aflame, as they say. I'm joined this week and every week by my man, my mellow, the smooth kind of fellow, the man who makes science look good, the man who makes math look good, the man who makes tutoring look good, the man who makes mini froze look good. It is that man, Sharif Jackson of SharifJackson.com. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, man. I'm glad that we are back. You know, like I know, you know, it's I'm ready for the show. We are the equivalent of Thursday night football. You know, it's either NFL or us or both. I mean, I'm sure that like some people can multitask out there. I'm glad to be here with you to record another one.
I am happy to see you, sir. You were missed. We had some technical difficulties this past week. We had some issues with the previous recording with that had the beautiful, the lovely, the amazing Ben Hawmiller in it. So that one is lost to the tombs. As they say, hope that Lara will find them. Hopefully, she'll be able to be the one to like figure out where that show went because it's gone.
Yeah, unfortunately, there was a flag on the play, and that joint just never got reviewed, y'all. It's just out there.
Yeah, is that like Showgate? Is like Deflategate, but it was like a show. It got deflated so much that the show just went away.
It's true. Yeah, yeah. I mean the people that were on Twitch. I mean, like they, you know. But yeah, it's unfortunately, you know, these things happen when you're podcasting. And I know definitely with this podcast and Operation Cubicle and all the other stuff, sometimes you just lose shows, man, and it sucks, but you know, it's just part of the game.
Totally. It's one of those things
because we're doing this all ourselves, you know, all the editing, all the stuff. So sometimes it happens.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, it's one of those things that you just can't help sometimes. It's a part of the game. And sometimes, you know, we had our Geraldo vault special. That's what we'll just call it that. We're just like, we went into the vault, Geraldo was there, and then there was nothing in there. But big shout out to everybody else in the chat. Also, shout out to our lovely co-hosts, Tanya DePass, and also to Cicero Holmes, who are not with us. Tanya had a triumphant return back to the States after doing a dope, dope tour with all her stuff in London that was going on, and Cicero is in the lower left hand corner, played by Fred Sanford, with his heart aglow as usual. I think even when he's here, I might just play that for him as opposed to
that's absolutely him.
Yeah, that's totally him. That's him. So yeah, we have a lot of cool stuff to talk about this week. The show is going to be full of news because there's a lot of stuff that happened over the past couple of weeks. But we're going to focus on stuff that happened in the not too distant future, or past, I should say, or present, because all the stuff is fairly new. First of all, actually, you know what? Let's go a step back. I want to know, how was your week? Because I know that you had a lot of stuff with school kind of coming back into play. And I'm sure that you were busy running around like a mad person, tutoring all the children, getting them all ready for school and getting them ready for their tests.
Yeah. It is pretty nuts. You know, I always tell parents that I want to start sort of early in the year, not wait until the students get sort of in trouble before you call in a tutor. The good news is that a lot of parents are taking my advice. So I've gotten a lot of business up front, which is great. But there's also, it's really hard because a lot of people have these aggressive sports schedules and they're getting home really late. So like time wise, it's been hard to fit in things. Mm-hmm. And I'm also trying to make sure that I have mostly my clients, because the clients I get that are referred to from different agencies, obviously I get paid less because the agency got to get paid. So like, you know, I'm still in there, but I have been very successful at using video game examples specifically in my physics stuff, which I'm trying to make a YouTube series about that should be dropping hopefully in the next month. But you know, I've been using a lot of games, including the dreaded Fortnite, to you know, to like show some concepts of math and physics. So yes.
You're like, so if someone tries to shoot you in the ass at this trajectory, if you put your ramp at a 45 degree angle, then you'll be able to block a bullet with both the wall and your butt cheeks.
I mean, something like that, except real. Yeah.
You mean actual math?
Yeah, exactly. Something like that, except rational. Yes.
Except not stupid, because Kai said. Word, I dig it. Fine. Don't like my math. It's okay. It's all right. What was I going to say? My week has been pretty busy. I was talking about it on Twitter today. I just changed jobs.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. It was interesting to kind of move from the IT space to a new space that I'll probably talk about in the next couple of weeks or so. The job is already kind of started. Well, not started. The job is already kind of there, and I accepted it. But I'm kind of I'm kind of trying to figure out the best way to share that information out to people, because people have asked me. I will say this. It's going to be cool, and it's gaming related. So that's kind of a cool thing to share with folks for a little bit of a mini teaser. A mini teaser.
I think I know what it is.
What is it?
I think you're joining the Trump administration's like a video game violence thing. Why you're going to be the one you're going to be the one just like telling Trump how violent video games are.
Well, I think, think about it this way. We already have seen the destruction of Toad. Toad has already been destroyed.
Oh, R.I.P. Toad, man.
RIP Toad, yo. Yeah. Like, Toad just got demolished this week because of Stormy Daniels and her wonderful telling of tales about all their sexual trysts, which I don't want to know. I was scared when I saw. I was like, oh, new Mario Kart. Not a Mario Kart. That conversation was not about that.
Ooh, yeah, it was the same thing. I was like retweeting all these Toad things, and I found out what people were referring to, and I was like, I was scarred.
It was terrible. Anyway, that's a whole other show. That's a So Mad episode. That might be something else that we talk about way after dark. But yeah, we had a lot of cool stuff happen this week in terms of the news. A game that everyone is super excited about, that everyone wants to get their hands on. It seems like some folks in the press got their chance to play the game a couple of weeks ago. And I'm talking about Red Dead Redemption 2 from Rockstar. So there's just a glut of information about what is in this game. So all the stuff that we've seen already from the trailers that we've seen and some of the info dumps that Rockstar has given out, that was all stuff that we were really excited about and trying to figure out where all that stuff happened. Then this week, or I should say last week, because this will be airing next week. Last week, they showed a teaser for Red Dead Online, which it wasn't much. It was just the whole, like, you know, splash screen for what they're trying to show. But that just raised all my expectations. I knew it was going to be in the game, but now that I see that this is going to be for real, I'm super hyped about that. What are your thoughts about Red Dead Online, though?
I think the little I played of GTA Online, I enjoyed it. It's been going for a long time at this point, and so I'm very confident that they can deliver something even better, you know, because I think that this world is I don't want to say better, that's kind of weird, but I feel like it's a more detailed and developed world than GTA is. Yeah. And I think that there's more opportunity for like co-op quests and things like that in like a Western world as opposed to like a GTA world. So I'm super excited for it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what I'm going to do about all that time, because it's going to be something that is going to soak up so much time. Like, I was not a huge fan of the actual online parts of GTA. Because, you know, I started really early on that game, and it was like when things weren't necessarily good yet. Mm-hmm. And everybody was, it was literally just everyone trying to kill you and take your money as soon as you spawned, which was not fun.
Right.
But like, weirdly, that whole system, that whole game, that whole online portion of that game turned into something that has solidified and like held that game down for 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, it's madness to know that game has been out for 5 years and is still going strong with a huge community still. that wants to kind of like push all that stuff out. I'm like amazed by that, and I don't know how to like rectify that part, but I know it's super dope that that's been a thing.
Yeah, I mean, like, GTA 5 was a great game. I definitely enjoyed it. But yeah, I am surprised not only to see it on the online portion, but to see them continually sell new copies. Like, it's been on MPDs basically since it came out. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah. Which is nuts for like a game that old, you know, to like have that kind of a long tail. So yeah. it's like really, really incredible. You know,
yeah.
But like, I'll say one thing that really got my attention as well was how they were kind of they were talking about like the mechanics of your gun in the game, how you kind of have to like take care of your gun, like you kind of have to clean it, that kind of stuff. Which my first thought was, well, that sounds kind of annoying. But then, then I kind of thought about other games where your weapons, where they degrade or things like that. And it does make you connect kind of more with them, you know? Mm. So I think that for this kind of narrative, for a deep narrative led game, I think that it's okay. If they put this in like a GTA game, I think it would be super annoying because I think that that game is a little more of a parody and like cartoonish. Yeah. So like, I kind of like that like idea of like, you know, you gotta clean and oil it, you know. Mm-hmm. and like if you go to like a barbershop, they can only give you like a haircut based on the hair that you currently have, you know. So like you can't like magically grow a beard, you actually have to grow it and then get it trimmed, you know. It's kind of dope, right? I like, yeah.
I'm like, it's one of those weird kind of like all the systems that you kind of don't get a chance to see, you're going to be able to like mess around with those things just by playing the game. Like I want my dude to just be fat, you know what I mean? Like just to roll around and like just be fat for a minute and like see how that changes the gameplay or in some fashion. Like I love the conversation that they were talking about in the article on Polygon where they basically were sharing that. Like if you don't wash, people will like not mess with you because you stain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like small things like that is like such a cool thing that you would think would be in more systems, but it rarely seems to actually make it into most games.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reason is because, you know, making an open world is so hard that there's so many other things that they have to prioritize over that kind of stuff. But obviously, a company, not only the size, but the experience of like Rockstar. And they said that like there was something like 8 studios that were working together on this.
Mm.
You know, it's like the largest world that they've ever done in the first one ground up for this generation, right? So I think that they, you know, they have the gaming hours in and the dedication and the budget, you know, to really, really not only focus on the core mechanics, which to be honest, I mean, I feel like they've already mastered in GTA 5 and even the original kind of like Red Dead, but to add on all these additional kind of nuanced things, you know, like mm-hmm. basically they have the flexibility to be able to like a focus on it, not at the expense of fucking up other stuff, which I think most other studios would fuck up the other stuff if they tried to like focus on it.
Yeah. It feels like Rockstar at this point has figured out the magic formula for, you know, giving people a sense of realism in a space, in a world, while also being able to string them along in a good, you know, hopefully good story with a narrative that has all these really cool branches in it. Like the stuff that I'm going to be so excited for is just getting lost in that world. Just like taking whatever new trail that I just see off in the distance because it's pretty, you know what I mean? And just rolling over there. Like, and I'm one of those folks who loves hunting in games. Like, I really like that kind of stuff and being able to do that for not just, you know, I need to go get a pelt because of a fetch quest, but now it's like, I need to do this because it'll keep me alive stuff.
Yeah.
Is super cool.
Yeah, I was absolutely getting vibes when I was kind of like looking over the coverage. I was definitely getting vibes of like Assassin's Creed Origins, which I totally got lost in. Specifically with like the horseback riding and like that kind of stuff, I really thought about, you know, how like Red Dead even kind of improves on that by like apparently every item and weapon that you show, you can see on the horse, you know, as you're going, which is, again, a very small thing. But, you know, if you play a whole bunch of these games, like, those little things matter, you know? Yeah. So, I am, as I said on previous shows, I'm not a huge Red Dead fan. Like, I'm not one of these people that thinks that Red Dead was, like, super, super awesome. But I'm pretty excited for part two. I think I'm definitely going to dive in probably day one and, like, give it a shot. Even though I wasn't, like, the largest fan of the first one.
Yeah, like, I felt like they were part... Well, I'm not going to say I wasn't a huge fan of the first one. I was a big fan of it, but it just... The game was too long. And I have a worry that this game is going to be too long.
It's going to be long.
It's going to be long.
I mean, it's a Rockstar game. It'll be long.
Yeah. I still haven't finished GTA 5.
Oh, really?
I still haven't finished the storylines in GTA 5.
Oh, like, man.
I feel like I need to get through it, but I kind of hated what's-his-face. Black dude. I kind of hated him.
Franklin? Yeah.
Franklin. I kind of hated him. I didn't like him a lot. He wasn't one of my favorite characters.
But that's good. That could be good writing, though, right? If you... Well, it depends on, like, why you hate him. If you hate him because you think he's poorly written, that's one thing. But, like, if you hate... His character, that's good. It's an emotional reaction, right? Which is what's good.
Yeah. It was a game full of unlikable characters that you kind of felt something for at some point. You know what I mean? Like, and it feels like I'm hoping that, you know, this character Arthur in this game has something that's gonna, you know, attach me to him, or hopefully it'll be some other character that's like a side character that I would love to see, be, you know, in that space and do really well and be fun. Cause I'm not a huge, Western fan. Like, Westerns are not my genre at all, but with Rockstar behind the wheel, I feel like there will be some really cool moments that you'll see pop up. And again, this is going to be another one of those photo mode games where I'm just going to lose my shit. That's going to be so much time and gigabytes gone. Just because of photo mode alone, so I'm really excited about that part.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Western fan either, mostly because, I mean, they're, like, very, very racist, you know. But like, I did like, I liked that remake of True Grit that was out maybe a couple years ago. But there was one Western that I saw, and it was like a comedy Western. It was like, and like it had. It was just really weird. It just had these really, like, it was like the main guy had, like, fallen in love with, like, one of the, like, prostitutes of the town, which was played by a female comedian. I forgot her name, but it was just some really vulgar shit. And I was like, damn. Like, it was like, the idea was that he was, like, dating her. So, like, he would, like, go like, to visit her at the brothel, and you would hear her shouting, like, all these, like, really weird things.
What?
to like the guy she was with. Nah, it's not, I don't think it's Blazing Saddles. I think it's a newer movie than that. I feel like it came out in the 2000s or so, but I don't know. I'll think about it. But yeah, not a big fan of Westerns either, but, you know, this I think this one will do it.
Yeah, I know it's gonna sell really well. We know that for sure. Like, that's going to be one of those things that is just going to sell gangbusters when it drops. I wonder too. It's like, I wonder just what the ceiling is for a game that's still coming off of GTA still being pretty big on the money making tip. Like, just imagine how long this thing is going to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With the online stuff that they probably already have in the pipeline. It's going to be, oh man, this game is going to be so long, so big. Yeah. So big.
So the movie is called A Million Ways to Die in the West. It's a Seth MacFarlane movie that came out in 2014. And it was Sarah Silverman that played the prostitute.
I know that movie. That's, wow, that's a deep cut. I don't.
Yeah, it was on TV late one day. I didn't know what the hell it was, and like I like came on just when she was yelling about, like, well, I don't want to. I know the show isn't a clean show, but it was like really, really disgusting things about. I don't want to say it.
It was. You got embarrassed.
I was like, what the fuck is this shit?
I think the only Western I liked was Posse.
Wow. This is the Posse.
Shout out to Mario Van Peebles.
Yeah.
And was there any other? Well, Unforgiven was really good.
I like Tombstone.
Tombstone was really good.
Yeah. It's one of those genres that, you know, to me is so tinged with that, like, I'm going to kill all the Indians, kind of like that, that racist shit. Like, I can't usually mess with them.
So. Yeah, Juice was a good Western, too. That was great.
Juice.
Juice was an urban Western. I'll say that.
Like, that means every hood movie is an urban Western, then. Right.
That's true, because everybody was riding the iron horse, so that works.
Ooh.
Yeah,
the train.
Anyway, anywho, something that I will not be getting on the train for is these mini classic PlayStation 1 that got announced this week or this past week.
Share your hatred.
You can cop a facsimile of the original PlayStation 1 that comes preloaded with how many games? 20 games in all for $100. And you can cop that joint because it has all these wonderful games like Final Fantasy VII, Jumping Flash, Ridge Racer 4, Tekken 3, Wild Arms, and some other stuff. And people are going to go crazy for this like they did for every other scam that's been in the world.
Oh, scam.
Scam. What are your thoughts about this mini Sony PlayStation 1 for $100?
I think it's great. I think it's great, man. I love collecting shit. You know, I have my SNES Classic on display. I have a bunch of figures on display. I love the fact that the form factor is like exactly scaled down. It's just a cool idea to me, you know? It just looks cool. And it's like something that like, you know, not only is it cool to like display, but it's cool for number one, families that might not want to invest in a, you know, in a PS4 or like an Xbox One, they could just pay just like $100. And like number two, it's something easy to just plug in to like the TV and just play with a partner or a friend that might not be that into games, you know? So I think it's cool and like it opens up gaming to a lot of like avenues and like that kind of stuff. But sorry about that. Something weird happened to my computer. The ghosts are taking over.
That should have been in the incognito tab. I know what that was.
Oh yeah, sorry guys. I think it's a good idea. I like these things. If you don't like it, you don't have to buy it. It's not going to affect anything. Like, it's not like Sony's taking resources from, you know, from something else to like make these things. So I think they're cool. I think it's cool.
Yeah. I think that these are terrible ideas. I think all these little mini systems that are all playing on people's nostalgia are terrible. No one needs it. No one wants it. No one really wants it.
That want it. Like people
are really interesting. People will say they want shit and then never use it. They'll use it once. It turns into garbage. And I doubt like the thing that always bugs me out about most of these things is like, who in the fuck is looking for an old version of Ridge Racer 4 to play? No one wants to play that shit. Like, it's not a game. Like, I would much rather, if you're going to do that stuff, and I talked about this on Twitter this past week and got shit for it, because I was like, look, these games should just be on some backwards compatibility, should be on the PSN store, which they said that most of these games already are. So if you already have this stuff here, why do you need all this junk, this collectible junk? It's all going to go into the landfill and kill the planet because people want junky shit for no reason that they either already had, they didn't want, the reason why they moved over to new shit, but they still want all this old shit for no reason so that they can just put it on the shelf, let it put dust on the damn thing, and no one's going to use that. No one's looking for these old games. No one is like, yo, I'm fiending to play Tekken 3. Nobody wants that.
I think there are. Nobody's
looking for that.
I think there's a market for it, or Sony wouldn't have made it, you know? Like
Sony,
there's definitely a market for it. Like, I don't think they're going to lose money on it, is what I'm saying. Like, I think that, like, there's a market to make a profit on it.
Of course, because if you play on people's nostalgia, then that's easy. Like, playing on people's nostalgia is such an easy move to get people to go buy some shit that they don't need. I'm totally a hater. I am absolutely a hater.
Well, I think it's harder than you might think. I mean, I think, like, not every company can do it, because a lot of companies try it, right? And, like, it's like, you know, there's, like, only a few that can do it well. But I think that, yeah, I think if you don't have the heart of being, like, sort of a collector, or, like, somebody that likes kind of, like, you know, just, like, things on display, then you probably wouldn't see, like, the sense in it. But, like, is there anything that you've ever collected? Like, I don't know, baseball cards or...
No, I mean, like I've never really had the
kind of collectors or anything.
I've never had the collector gene for a couple of reasons. Like, one, I don't like to clean shit just for the sake of it being in the house. Okay. Like, stuff that takes up, I don't like clutter. So, like, clutter as a thing, I don't necessarily care for. But also, like, it's one of those things where I just see the stuff and I'm just like, man, like, me collecting all this stuff and putting this stuff in places just for people to see it is weirdly... I just don't understand the mentality behind it. And that's a personal thing. That's definitely a personal thing. That's just like, I don't
care. It's just whatever brings you joy. Like, to me, every time I sit down in front of my computer and I see, right now I have a little BB-8. I have some Guardians characters. I got Black Panther, Captain America, a Bullet Bill, a Lego, like Millennium Falcon. When I see that stuff, it just makes me happy. That's all. I don't do it for other people. Like, I don't care. Like, I actually don't let people that come in the office.
Don't touch my shit.
Because I did have, you know, like, somebody's kid came in once and, like, fucked up, like, my Legos.
oh, really?
But yeah, no, it's just a thing of, like, happiness, you know? It's just a small thing where I sit down and it makes me smile. But, like, I did cut down on a lot of the other stuff because I used to have, like, all my physical game stuff and all that stuff. I definitely cut down on that. But like, I like to buy like small little Funko kind of size, like action figures. I think you'd be fine if they made like a mini Khalif, you know, and they sold that. I don't think you'd have a problem with that.
Well, it depends. Like, is it a Funko Kai or is it like, so here's the thing though. Like, I'm not a person who, like, when I see that stuff, I'm more of just like, man, I wonder like where that stuff is gonna go. You know what I mean? Like, it's a weird thing where I'm just like, I'm not a super like tree hugging environmentalist. I'm not in that space either. But like the older I'm getting, I'm just like, man, the things that I felt that I needed before, or liked before in that kind of realm, have kind of moved away, and it's like I would much rather purge a bunch of shit. Like, if I copped one of these things, it's literally just to resell it so I can get some extra money. Like, I'd be one of those people, which is not great, but either. But it's still like I would, because if you're willing to play on nostalgia in that way and kind of dig into it and be in that space too, I'm like, I'll totally benefit off that.
Well, would you say like the same thing about, say, like somebody that has a large collection of books? Like, would you say like, I wonder where those things are gonna go? Like, why are you collecting those things?
Same, same. Like, it's the reason why I like digital versions of shit as opposed to physical versions of shit. Because I'm just like, there is a limit to the things that you can keep around you. And if it's not, I mean, if it's stuff that you just can't get in digital form, then I understand that. That's different. But like new plastic things, like I had too many Rock Band guitars.
too many Rock Band guitars
and shit, and I was like, what the fuck am I gonna do with all this stuff?
Too many drums, man.
I was just like, oh my god, there's too much shit. And Easy Peasy says in the chat, it says sometimes we need frivolous things in the world to distract us from the shit show we call Earth. I get that. I and again, like, everybody can do what they need to do. Like, do you in the grand scheme of things. I just feel like the companies who are doing this stuff are absolutely playing into a part of the psyche in the same way that like people are like, well, loot boxes are terrible and bad and blah 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 and stuff, and I'm not necessarily in that camp. The same people on the opposite side would be like, well, these things are totally fine and you shouldn't be that mad about it. And that's fine. That's reasonable too. It just irks me that people will spend that money for things that they either already have again, or, you know, when I look at stuff in my house, I'm like, I haven't touched this thing in 6 months. I'm never going to use this thing again. There's no reason for me to even have this thing. I might as well just toss it away.
So that's when you do a little purge. I mean, I do that with clothes every year, you know. I kind of like donate some stuff and things like that. I mean, I feel you on it. It's just, you know, I think that if there's something that brings somebody joy, you know, and I don't understand it, I'm like, do you, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of my view on it.
One other part of this conversation I'd like to add to it is I and this is a little bit of an irksome thing to me. When it comes to these kinds of systems, is I just wish that there was a way that if they were going to do the preloaded stuff, that there would be a way to add games to it.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like the games that they give you, if you're going to get preloaded stuff, most times the games that you get aren't exactly the ones that you want. So it feels like a little bit of a waste of money because you're getting the form factor, you get the nostalgia bits, but you have like maybe 2 out of 20 games, maybe 5 out of 20 games you actually care about, and then the rest of them you just don't give a shit. Like, I wish that they would fix that part of it. Like, that part always feels kind of stupid.
Yeah, I think the reason they do that is because, you know, number one, they're worried about piracy and shit, and like number two, I think that they want to sell this thing because, you know, I think that a big target of these are like lapsed gamers or like people that don't want to worry about connecting it to the internet and doing all this shit. They just want to open it and just play it, you know? But at the same time, I think that they could at least have that option, right? So say like, hey, either you have these, or if you want to plug this into, if you have a PlayStation and you can like plug it in and authenticate your fucking PS Now shit, and then put things on it. I think that would be cool. That would be like the ultimate thing, but I don't think that like they would ever do it because it would be like open up to like possible piracy and like a hacking and all that stuff. But yeah, I will say that for example, if the Super Nintendo Classic didn't have, if like I didn't love like 80% of the games, probably wouldn't have got it. But like, you know, on Spawn for Good, like last year, you know, I played through, I think about 4 or 5 of them, and they were great, you know. So like, yeah, I think that if you don't like the games, I wouldn't get it just for the aesthetics. Like, you definitely have to be into the games.
Yeah, at least I would hope so, because then it's like you just bought a big paperweight that plays games kind of sort of. Yeah, yep. It's interesting. I'm curious to see who's gonna do the next version of a thing. To see where that goes.
Well, I think I don't think you can count it because it's technically a new console, but that like Atari VCS, like that Atari thing that's like a coming out, they have like a retro version that it basically looks like a mini wooden Atari 2600. It looks like really dope, you know?
Yeah.
And like it plays all, you know, all the old Atari game stuff, but like it also supposedly has support for like newer stuff and it's Unix based and like all that stuff. So I don't know if that technically counts, but I was like thinking about it. I was like, hey, this is a total like nostalgia thing. I had a 2600. If they had a cheaper version of like this, I might think about it, you know.
So it was a sexy looking box, though. I can't front it. The form factor on it was really dope, actually. And then you had, like, there were two versions. There was, like, the Founders Edition that had the wood paneling on it, and then they had, yeah, like, the secondary version, which was both, they both look really dope. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see where this kind of trend goes. And I wonder, I don't think that this is, it's probably not at all impacting the conversation about backwards compatibility, but it always feels a little bit dickish from companies, because it's like, man, I really just want you to put this stuff in the marketplace with that I already have, while also, like, I guess if you need to make another version for folks who just don't want the rest of the stuff, then that's good. But like, put this stuff in the system, put them on the PSN and put them on Xbox Live. Put that stuff into the pipeline, because that's where I, you know, most people who you already have a huge user base would love that money. I mean, would love to play those games. They would love to be able to, like, get that stuff in their hands. So yeah, it's an interesting thing.
Yeah. I think having the option would be dope. I agree with you there.
Yeah. I'm hoping that they kind of figure that stuff out at some point, and stop fronting. Start being greedy, in the words of DMX. Wow. word. Your cat's going to freak out and scratch the shit out of you. We've been playing a bunch of games too this week. I know that I have been playing a shit ton of stuff, but I want to go to you first, Reef, and talk about some of the stuff that you've been playing, because you have been grinding it out super hard, doing the thing.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost is Destiny Forsaken, man. I've been playing, I don't know how many hours, because I don't think Battle.net tracks the number of hours that you play something, but needless to say, I've been playing a lot. If I had to think about it, I would say maybe like 35, 40 hours. And the game's been out for what, like 2 weeks at this point, I think.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. I mean, it just really scratches my itch. I mean, I was never super down on Destiny 2 like a lot of people, but it was definitely the kind of game where, you know, I would log on, I would play for like maybe an hour a week, you know, just to get my like gear and stuff, and then bounce. I didn't have that like inclination to really go back to it like repeatedly like I did with Destiny 1. But man, with like Forsaken, there's so many quests to do. There's new stuff opening every day. There's like a raid that will take me like literally probably several weeks to even attempt, which is so different from like previous raids. So like, I'm excited about that, you know. There are just a lot of like carrots on a stick, and like getting there is like really fun, you know. So yeah, I've been playing with randoms and with friends as well, and man, I've just had a great time. I think Bungie has done a phenomenal job kind of resurrecting Destiny into something that, you know, is a positive thing, you know. Like a lot of like the feedback has been pretty positive. Really reminds me a lot of, you know, of like the Division with that like 1.8 patch, when like everybody like, yo, you know, like that was a game that had like negative press for almost a year straight, you know, and they just kept on grinding on it, you know. And like the same thing with like the No Man's Sky kind of like updates as well, you know. So I just love when these companies just keep plugging away at these things that they love, you know. And like I really think that if like a company has the resources and just keeps on it, they like eventually will get it. And I'm happy to say that like Bungie has definitely hit the nail on the head. I think that so far this is the best that Destiny's been, like, in, you know, ever since it like existed.
By far.
I haven't even tried the raid yet. That's what's crazy about it. Usually the raid is what sends me over the top on like Destiny. Yeah. And I haven't even gotten there yet. And I already think that just like the Dreaming City and the Blind Well, like the strikes are some of the best that the game has like ever done. Like the dialogue, like just like everything about it, man. I'm just super enthralled with the game, and it's been taking me away from a lot of other games as well. So I need to balance myself a little better, because I should have been done with some other games. But man, also on the go, I've been playing NBA 2K19 on the Switch.
Yeah.
Really happy to report that, you know, it runs really well. If you remember from 2K18, they had this weird thing on the Switch version where the audio and video were not synced up, so all the cutscenes, like the video ran like at like half speed, so like all the cutscenes were like all messed up, and
I
it
didn't
took
know
them a
that.
oh, it was terrible, and like it took them a while to like actually fix it. But yeah, it plays well. It's a solid 30 frames a second. Looks great. The only thing that I hate about it is that once again, if your connection goes down for any reason, it immediately boots you out of whatever you're doing. It goes right to the title screen, which kind of sucks because obviously it's a portable system. So like, if I'm playing at a Starbucks and I got to bounce, I can't just pause it, because if it loses the like connection, it just quits out. Now they do have a like offline mode, which like I'm using for the My GM mode, but you can't earn like VC or like any of that stuff. I
Oh,
don't
that
mind that as
sucks.
I don't mind that as much for the GM mode, but like I do mind it for the career mode. So it's weird because I basically feel like I have to play the game offline all the time,
Yeah.
because I can't pause a game if I play it online because it'll disconnect. So I really wish that all they have to do is like just like disconnect you and just like locally load up the VC that gets applied to your account when you reconnect. I don't know why they don't do that.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm finding that both the career modes and the GM modes are like great. I do wish that the neighborhood was unlocked at the beginning, though. I don't like that you kind of have to go through the career mode to like access that. But I do feel like that it's not quite perfect, but I do feel like I'm ranking up way faster than I was in 18. I think that it still could be a little faster, and I understand that obviously they want to push you to the micro transactions, like the boosters and like that kind of stuff. But man, I really wish they found some other way to make money, because it just still feels like I'm a little stilted, and like I don't like that, But yeah, I think it's another successful game. I still, even though Live has been getting better, I still think that 2K is still like the king of the basketball courts.
That's dope.
Also been playing Spider-Man on the PS4. Only played about 4 hours of it. I've been playing with my girlfriend, who's been watching actually, which is awesome because like she doesn't watch a lot of the games that I play. But man, it's like a really, really, really well done open world game. Just like Horizon is and Witcher and like all these things. So it doesn't necessarily do much new, but it does it really, really well, and it feels like you're playing the movie. If the movie didn't come out, I would say this is probably the best Spider-Man that I've ever seen, because it just really captures like his attitude, his dialogue, the science, like the geeky shit of like doing like absorption spectra and circuits and waveforms. I love that shit. I do spend a lot of time looking for backpacks and doing like the photographs and like solving crimes though, instead of the actual kind of like a narrative. But I did get to one part, and I won't spoil it because I'm very happy that it wasn't spoiled for me, but I did get to a part where you're not controlling Peter, and it was awesome.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
It was terrific.
I think I know what you're talking about. Yep.
Yeah, so yeah. Again, speaking from like someone that's only played about 4 hours, it's a standard open world game. Go to all these icons and like collect all this shit. But man, is it done really, 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 really well. I will say Spider-Man does seem a little weak. Like he can go down with only a couple of punches from just random thugs.
Yeah.
Like I don't mind dying to a boss fast, but just random thugs on like a rooftop, like it seems that like they can knock me down in like four punches, and I'm like, you have like superhuman strength,
But you need spider weedies, man. Spider weedies.
I know, and like I am trying to get like better at the dodging. I did unlock this one suit thing where if you dodge at the last minute, it'll like put a web in the person's face. So like that's helped a lot against the rocket launcher enemies or like the ones with like a guns and like that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's dope. Very, very dope. And the final game that like I've been playing is Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
I'm
And
excited to hear about this.
this is exactly one of those games where I'm like, I wish I could stop playing Destiny so I could play this game more, man. Dude, Shadow of the Tomb Raider starts off so, so good. And that's a high compliment because the last two games, especially Rise, started off really, really strong. This is, I feel like, the first of these modern Tomb Raider games where it doesn't feel like it's just Uncharted with Lara in it. You know, I think it really feels like it's its own game. And I think that that's really hard to do because, you know, you know, like I feel like people approach these games that they have to be like an Uncharted clone, but I feel, but like this is the one, and I think a lot of it is the dialogue and the pacing of it. It really does feel more stealthy, and just like more like it feels like Lara Croft, you know. So I haven't beaten the game, but I feel like that this might be my favorite of the three so far, which is crazy because
That's nuts.
like these games have gotten better and better, which there's not many trilogies I can say that the third game is actually like the best one, you know. So yeah, I need to put Forsaken down, man. And like really, really dive into that and Spider-Man. So yeah, I'm pretty much in gaming nirvana, man. I have so there's so many things out now that like I can just b bounce. Why can't I just be rich and just play games all day?
Why can't you have a clone that can play some of the games and just feed those memories back into your body?
No, I want to experience it. I don't want memories jacked into my body. I want my
Move,
hands to
jump,
be
jack
pressing the
your body,
buttons.
stomp.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want to watch like a Matrix video and be like, I know Kung Fu and like I beat like a Tomb Raider. Come on, man.
I'm just saying.
Yes. So what have you been playing?
I'm gonna kind of work backwards through your list and go through some of the stuff because we've been playing a
Sure.
lot of the same stuff. Spider-Man, definitely. I've been, spending so much time trying to get all the suits. There's one particular like guest appearance in there that I won't spoil, but that like slowed down my whole game progression, and I just went to go look for those things. Another collectible in that game, and it's weird because I'm not a collectibles person in games at all. Like I usually, once you start to throw those things at me, I like totally just don't play that part of the game. But this, I feel like compelled to go get every backpack and to go get, like I opened up the map really early just so I could see one, that Harlem has no black people in it, and two, that they also don't have the Apollo in it or 125th Street from what I heard.
What? Are you serious?
I forgot who told me. I think it was Mad Duck on Twitter,
Dude, if they don't have 125th, that is crazy.
who works over at Q Games. I think he said, if I'm not mistaken, that there isn't 120. There's no landmarks that are of note in Harlem, in the Harlem section of the game,
That's crazy.
which I have to double check to make sure is real. But if that's real,
Oh
that's
my
fucking
God,
blasphemy.
that is fucked up.
That is like nuts. I'm like, how can you not have the Apollo? How can you not have 125th Street? How can you not have all the hoteps in front of all
That's
in front?
all I'm saying is I want to see Magic Johnson Theater. I want to see like
Right?
fucking Magic Johnson Starbucks on 125th and like Lenox. You know
Right?
what I'm saying? Come
There
on,
better be a
man.
Dr. J's in that game. Anyway.
Get it together. Get it
Get
together,
it
y'all.
together, Insomniac. I'm coming. I'm looking for that. Actually, after we finish this show, I'm gonna go look up in the Harlem spot to see if there's any actual things. But playing the hell out of that photo mode all day, and that game is fantastic. I don't know what else a superhero game is gonna be able to do after this that's gonna be able to capture what this game is doing in terms of bringing that character to life in a way that is as true to the source material as this game is doing. Forsaken has taken over my life. Like, no bullshit, it's taken over my life. I have not grinded for levels or light like this in a long time,
man. Yeah.
And it's weird because it's like, it's not that the content, like the content is good. Like this is literally, like you said, the best content that Bungie has put out. This has resurrected that game from the dead. Random roles being back is such a huge thing.
Yes.
It's changed the way I look at that game in a real way. And it was really fun to watch people do the raid. Like, I'm one of those folks who will absolutely stay up and try to watch whoever's going to get the first, the world's first in the raid. And it was like riveting, like, you know, drama, because it was just one of those, like, you could see like the just fatigue on people's teams, and they were going for 19 hours.
19 hours. And the crazy thing is,
it was 19 hours.
Yeah, and like the crazy thing is, so like clan like Redeem is the one that won it. I believe it's their fifth one that they've gotten like first in.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So like in the this week at like Bungie, they interviewed them and they said that they got to the final boss room 6 hours behind the team that got there first.
Hmm.
So they were like way behind, but they figured out the puzzles and all that stuff. Like I usually like to go into raids blind,
yeah.
But I knew I wouldn't be able to like do this one for so many weeks that like I was like I'm just gonna watch some of it. I went to sleep. I woke up. These motherfuckers were still going at that shit. Like God damn, it was crazy.
It was madness to watch them do it. And I'm not one of those folks who's like I want to go into this thing blind. Like I want to experience parts of it blind, but like knowing just how difficult this one is was gonna be. I was like, F that. I'm going to go watch people do what they need to do so I can try to figure out small stuff. Because it is that weird time management thing where it's like, yo, I can't do this thing for 19 hours. Because then you hate people. Like, you hate the people in your squad because you're just like, you fucked up that jump or you got hit by that rocket. Fuck this shit. Like, I don't like you anymore. You're not my friend. So it's like interesting in that space to just like see people play through the content. But also, like, shout out to Redeem and all the other crews that went through that thing and like knocked it out and figured it all out, because it's remarkable to see people break a thing that people have made, and it's awesome to see people triumph at the end. Like, that stuff was super cool.
Yeah, shout out to Dado and the math class clan. They beat it in 24 hours and 2 minutes.
Yeah,
and if you beat it in 24 hours, you would get like a special emblem. So they missed the emblem by 2 minutes.
Oh, shit.
24 hours. 24 hours.
Wow, that sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks so bad for them. Oh, well.
Yeah.
But that game has like got back into a really, really dope space. Also, really cool thing to note, and I hope that Bungie continues to do this, is right after the raid was beaten, it unlocked new content within the rest of the game for everybody else.
Yes.
That is a thing I'm hoping that they continue to do. And when I say that, I don't want it to be an unlocking of loot. I want it to be an unlocking of content. Because now, if you keep creating really cool experiences like this in the raid and really dope strikes, maybe, that cumulatively everybody else has to kind of then go into all that information and go through all that stuff. Like, I would love to see that there be like community based, everyone does this thing and raises it up to a level so that everybody else gets more content. That's really dope. I love the fact that they did that, and that was super smart. Also the raid jacket that you could buy if you got in within that 24 hours is actually really dope.
It was
pretty funky. So shout out to Bungie for like continuing to push forward and like, coming through with all the stuff that they said that they were going to do and absolutely like making that stuff happen. Like, they have definitely gone above and beyond what we thought they were going to be able to do. NBA 2K, like you said, I've been playing it on PS4 and I did buy it on Switch as well. I'm really excited to play it on Switch. I did not think it was going to be this good on Switch. It feels very much like the big console versions of the game. So I'm super excited about that. I didn't know about the disconnection stuff, so that's a little bit worrisome.
It really sucks. Oh, and I did forget to mention that, unlike 18, the 19 version on the Switch supports the face scanning app. So,
okay.
so so like I was able to scan my face in, and you can use that in the offline mode. So so I definitely have like a Sharif ass looking Sharif out there doing Sharif like things as a GM. Sharif. Oh yeah, I'm out there like a GM talking with a guy that only speaks in Texan stereotypes.
Oh my god, so that's great. That's super true. That's super true. Last game that I played, shout out to the wonderful folks over at Ubisoft for providing the code. They had the Trials beta was up over the past weekend.
All right. And
I'm a huge fan of Trials. Like I love that game. I think that series is fantastic. The one thing that I didn't get a chance to check out in the beta, but did get a chance to check out at E3, was they've added tandem bikes to the game, which is something that I'm dying to play with other people. So like one person has to deal with the back of the bike, the back wheel. The other person has to deal with the front wheel.
Oh, that's what okay. I was struggling to remember what a tandem bike was, but
all right. Yeah. And that part is going to be so much fun to play with other people and stream it, because again, games that make you hate people are really fun, especially if you hate your friends.
Because I mean, sounds like Quap or something. Like it sounds like Quap, or
it's kind of like Quap, which is dope because it's like you have to like absolutely try to figure out how to balance this bike out in the middle of the air while you're doing jumps and all this other cool stuff. It feels really good. It looks gorgeous on PC. And I'm super excited to play that thing when I get a chance to mess around with it. I played a little bit of Messengers. I haven't really got that far into it. I need to get it on Switch because I tried to play it on PC, and for some strange reason, my controller wasn't working with it. So that was a little bit sucky. But yeah, there's a lot of good stuff coming down the pipeline, and we still have more games to come.
This is a good year. I mean, last year was a really good year, especially with Breath of the Wild and like Horizon and that kind of shit dropping. But man, this year so far, like especially this last month or so, has been crazy. And this is before, you know, Blackout, you know, Call of Duty and Battlefield and Red Dead.
I forgot about Blackout. Did you play Blackout?
I played a little bit of the beta. I played a little bit of the beta on a PC.
What'd you think about it?
You know, I enjoyed it more than I thought, man. I'm definitely not the one that usually rides with the PUBGs and the Fortnites. Like, it frustrates me more than I get excited by it.
Okay.
But I think Blackout, it felt like a Call of Duty game. So, like, it didn't feel that different. And, like, I don't mean that in a negative way. Yeah. I mean that I think it's really accessible if you're familiar with the Call of Duty PvP game. I'll be curious to see how it ends up, because I know that I believe the beta was like, I think it was 60 people, and then they were like kind of raising the like cap as like the time ended. They ended at 100 people.
Yeah,
I'll be really surprised if the thing supports 100, because the fidelity and the graphics and the physics is like way above like what I've seen in like PUBG. So
yeah,
they would have to have some really, really serious investments in their dedicated servers to make it happen. But who knows? Maybe.
I think Blackout has already, even in beta form, killed PUBG in a lot of ways.
God, like, damn.
Like, I had so much fun playing that game in ways that I've not had fun playing PUBG in that way. Like, PUBG is a good game. I think it's a very like well-made game, but the ability, like PUBG should be way further along than it is to be where it's at right now in comparison to what's going to happen when Blackout actually fully drops, and also when Battlefield decides what it wants to do with its Battle Royale game. Interestingly enough, I played some Battlefield 5 and did not like it. Which sucks, because I'm a huge Battlefield fan. Shit, the name of the show is fucking based on a Battlefield term. I love Battlefield, but I don't think Battlefield is the same game anymore. One, again, like all the stuff that I was worried about before about the setting, that still feels real. It feels like the community itself also has moved away from what made Battlefield fun. And it's because no one wants to play their role anymore. Everyone wants to play Call of Duty in Battlefield. And that part doesn't feel good anymore. That's a good point. But Blackout feels fucking awesome. They just have to do a cut. Really, the thing that's great about Blackout right now is the fact that you can see that they don't have to make a lot of tweaks to make that game viable up against other Battle Royale games, which is really dope to see. Like, there was initial conversations about it takes too long to pick up guns or it takes too long to open doors. They did a hot fix for that, and it was totally better the next day. So it'll be interesting to see once, you know, actual strategy goes into that. Once they tweak the armor stuff, which was way too OP
in the game. Yeah, the armor was a little heavy.
It's like level 3 armor. You could just stand there and let somebody shoot you in the face and you will never die. But if they can figure out ways to kind of capitalize on that stuff, and definitely we'll see what happens when Battlefield shows its hand. That's going to be really dope to see how these 3 or 4 games kind of battle it out. I don't think anybody's going to surpass Fortnite because of cute.
Oh, no. No, they will not.
They have Mindshare and cute.
But I am curious, though, to see if they try to get a little silly. Like, not quite Fortnite silly, but they try to get a little silly.
I hope not.
Because, like, part of the reason why Fortnite is such a phenomenon is because they got the kids. You know what I'm saying? And most of the kids are talking about, like, the dances and fucking meteors and like, bouncing off of rivers and, like, that kind of shit, as opposed to the actual gameplay. So I'm curious if, like, Activision will, like, kind of, like, say, hey, like, let's try to do some silly things to try to, you know, go viral and that kind of stuff.
I
hope they don't, but...
Yeah, me too.
I don't know. I can see them at least trying. I'm not saying it'll be successful, but I can see them trying to get a little silly.
Yeah, I'm hoping that they keep it in that space so that they are very different. That would make a lot more sense to me. Like, that would be way better. And I'm hoping that they continue to do that work, because if they do, then it'll just remain something different in that space that should be there. You know what I mean? Like, if they can figure out a way to make sure that that's, like, good in that space, then they'll stay different, which is what the space needs right now. They need to stay different. Any last thoughts on any of that, on any of the stuff you've been playing in Blackout and all that thing?
No, I mean, I must say I haven't bought a car. Like, I did buy the last one on a cheap sale, but I still hadn't even played it. Like the World War II one.
Yeah.
So I've been kind of out of Call of Duty. I think Infinite Warfare I played through, but I really didn't like it.
Yeah.
So pretty much Advanced Warfare was the last Call of Duty that I was really liked. So I don't know. Blackout might be enough for me to try it. What I think that they should do is similar to how Destiny 2 is having not only this free month of PS Plus, but also doing a free trial of the Gambit mode this weekend. I think if they did that, and I know they just had a beta of it, but if they actually had some kind of free trial of the final version of Blackout, I think that would move a lot of units, including one from a me as well. Because if I remember right, they're not having a campaign in the next Call of Duty, right?
No, I don't think so. No.
Yeah, which kind of sucks, because I'm that kind of person that did enjoy Call of Duty campaigns for what they were.
Yeah.
But you know, I think if I can get a little test of the final version of Blackout, I think it'll put me back in the Call of Duty game.
Yeah.
It'll put me back in the game.
We're about to get up out of here. I would love to hear from folks in the community about what they liked about the stuff that we talked about this week. If they were playing any of the stuff that we were also playing as well. Last thing before we get up out of here is that we are doing our charity event this weekend. If you are listening to the show now, it already happened. We already raised $7 million for all the wonderful folks that we're trying to work with. We're trying to raise $5,000 for the dope folks over at Vote Riders. We're going to have some of the folks rocking with us, like Will Smith. We're going to have Nani J. Cool from Nerdgasm Noir Network is going to be rocking with us. Mary Kish from Twitch. Ben Prunty is going to be performing music. He's going to be composing music on his stream. And our friend over from the DLC podcast, Christian Spicer, as well. Amongst other dope folks in the industry. The folks from Engage Family Gaming are going to be rocking with us. We have a whole bunch of dope folks going to be hanging out with us. Zero Hit Points podcast. A lot of podcasters rocking with us for this event. And yeah, and Vote Riders is super dope. Sterling McGarvey and I were like, yo, well, how can we try to make some moves with the midterm elections coming up? Because it's going to be really important. So we decided that we were going to team up and try to figure out ways that we'd be able to help those folks out. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be 12-hour streams on Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 10. And we'll be playing some cool stuff, kicking it off at 10 a.m., going all the way to 10 p.m., and doing all that good work for the people out in the world. So make sure you're checking out all that stuff on the VODs. We'll be tweeting stuff out if you're checking us out live. We'll be throwing out stuff during the weekend. And starting tomorrow, you'll be able to donate with the link that we already are going to be sharing on our social channels. So, yep, we're going to be getting some stuff done, doing some charity work, and making it dope for the people.
I'm like really excited, you know, like I think that, you know, over the years, like, we've been to support a lot of really dope orgs.
Yeah.
And I think that this is one that I know that, like, we've been talking about for a while. Cause, you know, I mean, like, you know, whatever side of the political spectrum that you lean on, I think that you agree that getting people out to vote is important, you know?
Yep.
So I think that this is dope to engage the community in this way.
Yeah. Getting people the IDs that they can get to use to vote and to go to the store. Mm-hmm. And when they get pulled over by the police, they'd be like, yo, I got ID. Leave me alone. Yo, back up off me. Those things are important, and we hope to be able to do more of that work throughout the rest of the year, and into next year as well. Word. So we're going to get up out of here for episode 256. If you want to give people the social media business, please do so, Reef.
Sure. Go to spawnon.me as the website to get episodes, past episodes, our pretty faces, and all kind of links to the about page if you want to see everything that goes down there. If you want to check us out on Twitter, you can go to @spawnonme, Facebook, spawnonme podcast, Instagram, spawnonme podcast. Email us at spawnonmepodcast@gmail.com. There's also a link to our Discord. I think we need a more user-friendly link for the Discord, but if you send us a message, we can send you like an invite to the Discord as well. Our show comes out on Tuesday's audio version, but we also stream live on Twitch on Thursdays at 7:30 Central. At 7:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern as well, on twitch.tv/spawnonme as well. If you want to go above and beyond with your support, make sure to support our Patreon at patreon.com/spawnonme. You can donate as little as $1, and you can help us upgrade our equipment, go to conferences, and do things like the Spawn for Good event that we're doing now. You know, so like, if you want to help us expand our reach, make sure to support our Patreon as well.
Word. Thank you guys everywhere for listening to the show. Thank you for supporting us for all these years. Thank you for everybody in the chat and podcast land and Twitch land. And until next week, we will say peace, and we are out of here.